Called to serve. Right? Hey, by the way, if you're not serving, you're missing out. You're missing out. The people that receive the greatest blessing in the Christian life are the ones who serve. Didn't Jesus say it's more blessed to give than it is to... Now listen, my wife and I, man, we get to enjoy the great privilege of serving people, and we feel like we get more out of church than most of you do. I want to recognize some people who have gone the extra mile. They've gone above and beyond the call of duty. You know, everybody goes the first mile, but the second mile is a lonely road. Not many people are actually on that one. And so I want to recognize some people, and I want them to come up here. I want them to stand right here. Jamie and Michelle Huerta, I want you guys to come on up here. We wanted to give you guys a little gift. This is a Bible, and we love you guys. Jamie and Michelle have been coming here for, I don't know, 2.5 years now. Mm-hmm. And Jamie is the head of our greeter ministry, and he does a fantastic job. He does a wonderful job, has a heart for the lost. He leads many people in his workplace to the Lord. And he'll text me and say, another one saved, Pastor, another one saved. Man, what a blessing that is. And Michelle cooks the greatest Mexican food this side of the universe. And she's a tremendous blessing to us. And I'm so thankful for their heart for God. If you guys don't know this, we're actually going to start a recovery program called Reformers Unanimous on a Friday night. And Jamie will head that up. And just pray about that beginning in the next year or two. They need to move up here from South Haven. You guys don't know this. They drive from South Haven every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But we wanted to give you a little gift and thank you for your service for the Lord. All right, the next couple that I want to recognize is Tim and Stephanie Kistner. Why don't you guys come on up here? Come on, Tim and Stephanie. I caught them by surprise. He's like, what? Who, us? Who, us? Listen, I'll tell you, Tim and Stephanie have only been coming to our church for, what, less than a year? Right about a year. Tim and Stephanie have been a tremendous blessing to us. Stephanie, I don't know if you guys know this, but once every 2 weeks, she has she has clothes for boys and girls and invites the community to come in and get free clothes for those kids. And she heads that up, and many people have come and been blessed by that ministry. And we're so thankful for that. Tim has really stepped in the nursery ministry. Say, a guy in the nursery, he's heading up a team and does such a great, wonderful job. And they're a tremendous encouragement to me and my wife, to our staff. And anywhere we've asked them to serve, they just jumped in and did it with joy. And I wish I could tell you how God, they're just a wonderful display of God's grace and mercy. And I'm so thankful for this wonderful couple. And we just want to say thank you for your service to the Lord.
I love you guys. Thank you.
All right. The next couple I want to recognize are the John and Amy McIntosh. Where's John? You know, is John? Oh, John's coming in. John, get up here. Put your big gulp down and get up here. Come here, John. So if you guys notice this is actually really good because he's wearing his vest while he's serving. You can keep that on. And John is the head of our parking lot ministry. John, Amy, why don't you guys come on up here? John and Amy have been coming to our church since the old Breton Road days. And in fact, like the first year we were here, John and Amy came, and we're so thankful for them. They have been a tremendous blessing. How many guys, your first time here, you saw John out there in the parking lot? You saw him? All right. I'm telling you, he's a tremendous help to our ministry, does a wonderful job. We want to thank you for serving the Lord at Grand Rapids Baptist Church.
Thank you. Amen.
And the last couple that we want to recognize is Josh and Rachel Stevens. Josh and Rachel. Josh, come on down here. Is Rachel. She's right here in the back. Rachel is our photographer, and she does a fantastic job. Not our personally, the church's, and she is amazing. By the way, if you need photography, are you still doing photography for people?
I'm starting again.
Okay, she's starting again. So if you need that, she does a great job. Josh is the head of our media department, and I'm telling you what, for many weeks he doesn't sit with his wife. He's up there serving the Lord up there, And we just want to recognize your sacrifice and your love for our church. And this is a little gift of thanks for serving the Lord at Grand Rapids Baptist.
Thank you.
Thank you. Boy, isn't it a joy to serve God? I'll tell you what. You know, the world likes to define success differently than the Bible defines it. My whole life, I was taught what success was. I was taught that success was more money. Success was a bigger house. Success was a bigger church. Even as a pastor, pastors view success as how large your church is. We're taught that success is being the boss at the job. If that's what success is, then Jesus was a dismal failure. He washed people's feet. The Bible says he had nowhere to lay his head. That means he didn't even have a bedroom. He didn't have a bed. He didn't have a house. You think about Jesus' ministry, he really didn't have much money. When you think about the crowds, most of the time they left him. If success was defined the way the world defines it, Jesus is a failure. But the question is Jesus really a failure? And does Jesus define success differently than the books that are written today? We live in a success-driven society, don't we? I mean, bookstores are filled with how to be successful at underwater basket weaving. How to be successful at the jump shot. How to be successful at sales. How to be successful at eating ice cream. I think, how many of you guys are successful at that, by the way? When we were in Ludington on vacation, we ate at House of Flavors almost every day. We ate there 5 times. It was unbelievable. It was so good. I'm very successful. And Halo Top. Have you guys ever had Halo Top? Anybody? I'm successful at eating the entire pint every time. It's amazing. And you don't feel guilty because it's like 15 grams of protein. It's only 240 calories. All right. Halo Top has paid me to plug that. No, I'm just joking. No one in this room wants to be a failure. You don't want to be a failure at what you do. Nobody wants to be a failure. So there's a lot of books on how to be successful. Have you ever been there? You ever felt like that? Man, I want to be successful. I'm being successful at what I do. But what I want to share with you this morning is, what does Jesus say about being successful? What is his definition of success? Success, as the world defines it, is a rather empty experience for many people. They get to that place of success and they say, that's it? That's it? That's all that's there? It seems rather empty, they would say. I heard one CEO who spent his entire life climbing the ladder, and he said, only to find out that the ladder was leaned up against the wrong building. What is success? In our story that I'm about to read, Jesus defines it. It's interesting. In connection with Christ coming back again, he tells a series of parables or stories. A parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus used parables to illustrate what he is going to do in the future, what he's doing at this time. And Jesus is teaching the disciples how to be successful. So let me read the story. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 14, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods." So what he's saying here, Jesus is saying, I'm the master, and I'm going to travel away. I'm going to come to this earth. I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to raise from the grave, and I'm going away to my Father. But how many of you guys are thankful Jesus is coming again? So he says, I'm the master. Now I'm going to leave my goods with you. Okay, he's talking to you and me. So I'm going to leave my goods with you. I'm going to leave these opportunities with you. Notice what happens. And unto one he gave 5 talents. And another 2. What the fairness movement would not like this story. He's like, how come he gets 5 and he only gets 2? And to another 1. And every man according to his several what? Ability. He only gives you what equal your ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. It wasn't his, it was his Lord's. And the Lord told him what to do with it. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. He came back. How many of you guys are thankful Jesus is coming back? And he reckoned with them. There's a day of accountability. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. He's so excited about the report. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And the Lord said unto him the same thing, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou wert a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast, that is thine. Here you go, Lord. He buried his talent in the earth. Didn't use it, just buried it and left it. And the Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. In other words, he said, you could have took that talent and just gained interest on the money. You could have gotten something out of it, but you buried it. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto him everyone that shall be given it shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning as we study this passage. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, you're a success if you use your God-given abilities and opportunities for His glory and for the good of others. I want us to define biblically what success truly is today. I want you to notice that from our story, there is a day of responsibility. There's a day of responsibility. If you're alive today, you have a responsibility. And that responsibility is taking advantage of the opportunity. If you've been given kids, that's an opportunity to be responsible and or a steward of those kids. If you've been given a job, a place to work, although you might not like it, you've been given a responsibility to steward that job. Next door, right here, we have ministry booths. You're given an opportunity to sign up to serve and use your God-given abilities and talents for God. And so there's a responsibility for every single person in this room. Now listen, I say responsibility, and some of you just want to tune me out. You want to go to sleep because you hate that word, responsibility. But the fact of the matter is, we do have a responsibility. Did you hear about the guy who woke up one morning? He says, I'm not going to church. Told his wife, I'm not going to church. And she says, why aren't you, what do you mean you're not going to church? She said, give me 2 good reasons why you're not going to church. And he said, because I don't like those people and they don't like me. So I'm not going, I'm sleeping in, not going to church. And his wife said, you can't do that, you got to go to church. And he says, why don't you give me 2 good reasons why I should go to church? And she says, well, I'll give you 2. 1, because God says you should go to church. And 2, you're the pastor. Who's going to preach the message? If you don't take personal responsibility, then you're going to miss out on the great opportunity. The greatest thing, the greatest service you can do for yourself is take personal responsibility for your life. Quit making excuses for why things don't go your way or why you think you can't make it in the future. Start taking personal responsibility. It's nobody else's fault but yours why you don't make it. There's a day of responsibility. But then looming out there in the future is a day of accountability. So how we live this day of responsibility, we should live it in light of a day of accountability, that one day we're going to take the opportunities that God gave us and say, Lord, this is what I did with it. Some of us are going to be ashamed, and some of us are going to be happy about the report. We just read the story. Two of them said, look what I did, Lord. Look what I did with what you gave me. I doubled it. And then the one, he buried it. And there's two types of people in this room. Those who bury their opportunity and those who double it, take advantage of that opportunity, are responsible with the opportunities that come their way. Now, it's interesting because he uses this parable and he uses the word talent. Now, a talent in the Bible was a sum of money. It was a large sum of money. But Jesus was using this to explain a story and to illustrate this fact that the talent represented an opportunity. An opportunity for service. Okay, so in the story, it's not saying, God's not saying, here's $100, now double your $100. Okay, he's not saying, here's $1,000, now double your $1,000. He's saying, he's using this parable to illustrate that you have been given an opportunity. Now do something with that opportunity. And that opportunity is an opportunity of service. Now all of us don't have the same opportunities. Notice he gave one 5, he gave one 2, he gave one to 1. And just because the opportunities are different doesn't mean that the award is different. The award's the same. Didn't he say to the one who had the 5 and doubled to 10, didn't he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord? Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make you the ruler over much. But didn't he say that same thing to the guy with 2? The award was the same, the opportunity was different, but it was according to their ability. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. If God gives you an opportunity, he's saying to you, you have the ability. You can do this. Now, everybody's opportunity is different, and can I tell you, that's okay. Can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of thee? Can we say to the more feeble members of the church, we don't need those people? What are they going to add to the church? You know, I used to think that we didn't really need our pinky toe. Can you imagine not having the pinky? You know, I don't think about my pinky toe very often until I stub it in the middle of the night. Hit that thing. It's all black and blue. How many guys have stubbed your pinky toe before? Oh, my word. I never think about it until I stub it, right? Imagine what life would be like without that little toe. You wouldn't be able to walk straight. You need it. But is that little toe not needed? Is that, I know it's a more feeble part of the body compared to the eyeball. But is the pinky toe still needed? Absolutely. You need every part of the body functioning correctly. And everybody has a different opportunity, different abilities. But can I tell you, it's okay. The worst thing you can do is compare your abilities and talents with other people. Here's what happens when you compare. The Bible says to not compare, for it's unwise. And here's why it's unwise. Because you may have an ability that's greater than somebody else and you'd be lifted up in pride. Or you might not have an ability like somebody else or opportunities like somebody else and you would say, man, I'm so discouraged. So either way, it's a bad ending. You're either lifted up in pride or you're brought down by discouragement. That's why you're not to compare yourselves and to say, hey, I'm thankful that I have an opportunity and I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity and do the best with God's ability that he's given me and try to double that. And guess what? The award's the same. It's the same award. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm actually going to define to you this morning what success really, really is. But I want you to notice there is a day of responsibility. You're living today. You have a responsibility, and I want you to take advantage of that. Now, notice that these opportunities are according to your abilities. That means that God's given you a certain capacity. Some of us can sing. Some of us can't. Right? I can't sing. I sing like the guy in prison. Behind a few bars, can't find the right key. I got saved at 21 and I listened to alternative music. So it's more of that grungy, you know. Do you want me to sing a few of them? Okay. Some of you guys are like, Pastor, don't do it. And I got saved and I went to Bible college and I said, and they said, you want to join the choir? I said, yeah, I want to join the choir. I love to sing. And they said, what are you, a tenor, a bass? I said, yeah. I don't know what a tenor and a bass and a soprano and an alto is. I said, I don't know. I just stood next to a guy that I knew that I liked, and he's saying good. I thought I'd stand next to him and try to mimic him. You know, just sing like that guy. And I remember one of my first practices, the choir director, he struck up the choir. I mean, we're all singing. I was singing away, man. You know, the Bible says make a joyful noise. That was me. It was joyful and it was noisy. And I said, I was just, didn't know what I was doing. There's notes on the page. I don't know what those were. I'm just trying to, you know, like when they go up, I kind of go up a little bit late, and they go down, I go down a little bit. And he stopped the whole choir. And he kind of pointed in our direction and said, there's somebody over here. It's a little off. And I remember thinking, man, who's that guy? Man, what a bum. And then he struck up the choir again, and he stopped. He said, it's still going on. And so I thought, man, maybe it's me. I'll lip sing. I'll just pretend that I'm singing. And he struck up the choir again, and I started lip singing. And as he's directing the choir, he said, much better, much better. I stuck with that choir for 3 years, man. I'm on a music CD. I don't want to brag, but I'm in the choir. You can almost hear me. Everybody has a certain capacity. Not everybody can teach. James says, be not many teachers, for such shall receive the greater condemnation. Not everybody can teach, not everybody can sing. Everybody has a different ability. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with the ability God has given you? Embrace that. Take the 2 talents, the 1 talent, the 5 talents that you have, the abilities that you have, and the opportunities that you have, and try to double it. Do the best you can with what you have. So it's not fair that he has more. And I look pretty good compared to that guy who has less. The Bible says stop that. That's not what success is. Success is not about having more. We have to get that out of our brain. Success is not more. Success is being good and faithful. I'll elaborate that on it even more. Now let's talk about the 1 talent guy. Notice that the first 2 doubled their assets. They got busy for their master. But let's look at the 1 talent guy. Notice the problem in verse 18. It says, but he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. This guy's eyes were fixed on this world. He didn't take this opportunity or this ability and begin to use it in light of a day of accountability. He took this, got afraid, says, man, I don't want to lose this. This is a lot of money. And he was fearful, and he buried it in the earth. He says, well, when he comes back, at least I'll just give him back what he had, what he gave me. And that wasn't the purpose of God giving him that talent. God didn't give you your opportunities and your abilities and your talents just so that you can maintain what you have. He wants you to grow that. You have a responsibility to take what you have and then grow with it and go with it and double it. Your opinion, your evaluation and worth of what you're doing is determined upon whether you think you're doing it for this world or you're doing it for eternity. You're either using your opportunities in light of this world for now, or in light of eternity. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 19, the Bible says this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? Isn't this the idea of being heavenly minded with the opportunities you have? That means that if I'm married, I have a wife or I have a husband, I take that opportunity, that responsibility, and I live that in light of eternity. Not in light of right now, how I feel right now. And then he says, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. Okay? I like what one person said. They said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You have a day of responsibility. If you're alive today, you have a responsibility for the talents and the gifts and the opportunities that God presents to you today. And if you bury that opportunity, you don't go anywhere with it, Jesus says that you are what? He said, slothful. He said, wicked servant. God has given you a marriage. God has given you kids, but you just maintain what you have and you don't build upon that. God says you're slothful and wicked with it. God has given you an opportunity to serve in His local church and you do nothing with it. God says you're slothful and wicked with it. That's not what I said. That's what the Bible says. So we have a responsibility with what we have. Because there's a day of accountability. That's number two. There's a day of accountability. Look in verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants, what? He returned. He comes and reckoned with them. Now, how many of you guys are looking forward to that day when Jesus returns? He says, after a long time of being away, he comes back and says, all right, let me see what you did with what I gave you. Okay? Now, as I look at this world of moral decay, the only hope for this weary world is for the personal appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you saw in Charlottesville, Virginia yesterday. How many of you guys think we need Jesus to come back as soon as possible? By the way, when hate plus pride equals racism. I don't stand with what was done yesterday at all. With the white national movement, I detest what they stand for. I detest any kind of racism, period, because the ground is level at the cross. The Bible says that Jesus died for all mankind. If you read what Paul wrote in Acts 16, you know what he said? There's one race, there's one blood. How dare us Christians ever judge somebody by the color of their skin and not the content of their character? Can I get an amen to that one? And by the way, that's what they did yesterday in that protest was not Christian whatsoever. And Jesus would detest that. I just look at this world. Jesus has to come back to this world. And by the way, it won't get better until He comes back or until people trust in Him and believe what He said about mankind, that He loves everybody. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. I like what Titus 2:11 and 13 says. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to how many? Just all the white people. Is that what it says? Just only to the brown people. The Bible says to all men. His grace has appeared to all men. Salvation has appeared to all, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world. By the way, the only thing that breaks down the walls of racism is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I love the church. I love that there's people from different backgrounds. There's people of different social and financial backgrounds and statuses. And we're all here as one person serving Jesus Christ. Because what unites us isn't our income or our skin color. What unites us is Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to say, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So there's going to be a day of accountability with the opportunities that God has given you. Now let's look at the first two. Look in verse 20. It says, and he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. You know what this guy is saying? He said, Lord, I mean, this guy is so excited. He said, Lord, you gave me 5, gave me a responsibility in light of a day of accountability, and I took those 5 talents. Lord, look what I did. There's 10 now. There's 10. Lord, look what I did. Wouldn't that be amazing if he said, Lord, thank you for the wife you gave me. And he comes back and Lord, look how I grew this marriage. We went on the couples retreats and we invested in prayer and Bible and we went to church every week and our marriage grew. Wouldn't that be great? Lord, thank you. Thank you for the kids you gave me. I'm so thankful for that. Lord, he comes back and there's that day of accountability and you say, Lord, look what I did. Lord, I raised them up in the nurture and admonition of you. I did the best I could. I wasn't perfect, but Lord, I think that I did the best I could with what you gave me. The ability that you gave me. Here you go, Lord. I can think of the person who was given the opportunity to maybe serve as the greeter ministry or serve in the nursery and said, Lord, I took that opportunity and I did above and beyond what you asked me to do. Look what I did. That's what the guy with five talents did. He says, Lord, I doubled it. Here's what I did with that. In verse 21, we zoom into the heart of what success really looks like. Look what it says in verse 21. His Lord said unto him, let's say it together. Well done. Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. This is what success really looks like. Success, according to Jesus here, is being good and what? Success wasn't that he had 10 now. Success was that he was good and that he was faithful. I love what Albert Einstein said. He said, try not to become a man of success, but rather to become a man of value. Success always follows a person of value. Success is having value in your life. Being a man or a woman of integrity, doing what's right is what I'm talking about. That's what success is. Proverbs says it's better to have little or nothing but have a pure heart than to have much goods and riches and have an evil heart. Success, according to Jesus, is being good and being faithful. That's what true success is. God says, hey, I gave you 2, I gave you 5. He said the same thing to both. You're good and you were faithful. That's my definition of success. That's what it is. Success is not having more. Success is doing good with what you have right now. It's doing good with the marriage you have right now. So yeah, but I think the grass is a little greener on the on the other side of the fence. You know where it's greener? It's greener where you water it. Amen. It's greener where you invest in it. That's where it's better. If you have great gain by ill means, then you're just an unhappy gatherer. If you really think success is having a whole bunch of money, you'll do anything it takes to get all that money. But will you really be happy, and is that really what success truly is? Is success for a pastor really having a big mega church of 5,000-6,000 people? Is that really what it is? Or is it being good and faithful with what God has called me to do? Now listen, I love growth. I love numerical growth, but that's not the goal. The goal is Jesus. The goal is doing good with what I have. I'd rather go to bed at night knowing I did good and I was faithful than go to bed with much goods and know that I did it in ill will. There's no softer pillow than a clear conscience. If Jesus came back right now, would he say to you, hey, great job with your marriage? If he came back right now, would he say, hey, great job with the ability I gave you. You could sing and, man, you really used that for me. If he came back right now, he says, I gave you this ability to teach. And, man, you really expounded on that. You did a great job with that. And you taught much people my word. Would you be able to say that? Or would he say, man, you buried it? We see here a day of accountability. Now, look what happens with someone who's faithful. The Bible says they become a ruler. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you what? A ruler over many. Now notice the order. You had to be faithful and a servant in the little things before you became a ruler over much. The reason a lot of people never make it is because they want to start off as a ruler. They aren't interested in being the servant. They're not interested in doing the little things, like starting off just in the nursery, or starting off parking cars, or starting off and cleaning the church. You find kids today who graduate from college, they want to be the CEO out of college. They don't want to do the little things. at the company. They think they're too good for that. But notice the order. He says, you've been faithful in the little things. Now I'll make you what? A ruler over many things. A good boss would do that. So let's see how well you do in the little things, and I could trust that you would do good with the big things. If you can't take care of the little things in life, why would God give you the big things? Some of you have been stuck doing little things for so long because you haven't been faithful in the little things. Just waiting for you to be faithful in those things. A lot of people never make it because they want to start off as the ruler. I think of Moses. Moses led 2 million people out of Israel, or out of Egypt. 2 million Israelites out of Egypt. But you know what he did before that? For 40 years, he was a sheep herder. He was out there herding sheep for 40 years, just serving God. God was just preparing him. He was faithful in the little things. God made him a ruler over so much. God used him in such a great way. For 40 years, he was faithful and good at what he did. I think of Joseph. For 13 years, he was an Egyptian slave. And he didn't curse God when he was a slave. He didn't get mad and bitter. He was just faithful at what he did. And after 13 years, he became the prime minister of Egypt. He was faithful in the little things. Just taking care of Potiphar's stuff. Being truthful and honest. Being good while he was in prison, although a ton of wrong was done to him. His brother sold him into slavery because they despised him and were jealous of him because it was his father's favorite son. What was done to him, if you read the story, what was done to him was so wrong, yet he was still faithful and he did good regardless of it, and God made him a ruler. God is careful to look how you handle the little things. By the way, how are you handling the little things? How are you doing handling the little bit of money that comes your way? If you haven't been good with the little that's come your way, why would God give you more? How have you been doing with the abilities that God has given you? Maybe music ability or teaching ability or an encouragement. Maybe you're an encourager. How have you been doing with those abilities that God has given you? Take special note and care to the little things, and the Bible says God will then give you more. He'll give you more responsibility. Think about David. David was the youngest son of Jesse. And his older brothers were men of war and valor. And you know what David did as a young 17-year-old boy? He was just a shepherd. He was a servant of his father. But he was faithful at it. And I don't know if you guys know this, but in the Bible, a shepherd was the lowest job out of all the jobs. It really was. When he came to his brothers, his dad, during the war, when Israel was fighting against the Philistines, his dad says, I want you to go bring your brother some cheese. Now, I'll tell you right now, that would be a good gift. I love cheese. Maybe it was the squeaky cheese. I don't know what kind of cheese it was, but it was cheese. And David was faithful to bring cheese to his brother, to his brothers. He was faithful at shepherding those sheep. Killed off a bear and a lion, made sure he took good care of those sheep. You know what that said to God? He's going to take good care of my people. He's been faithful over sheep. He'll be faithful. He'll be good to my people and lead my people well. If you're not faithful at the little things, God's not going to make you a ruler over much. The guy that had the one talent, if he was faithful to double that talent, God would have gave him more responsibility. Would have made him a ruler over more. But he buried it. Because his eyes were on this world and not on eternity. Not on a day of accountability. Now let's look at the last guy. Look in verse 24, would you? It says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there hast that is thine. He takes his talent and gives it to the guy who has 10. Notice what it says. He says in verse 26, the Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. If you would have just taken your talent to the exchangers and got some interest on it, that would have been better than what you did. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which have 10 talents. Look at this last guy. He's given an ability, he's given an opportunity, and he buried it. I want to give you a lesson here. Something I don't want you to ever forget. Either use it or lose it. Either use it or you'll lose it. If you're a piano player and you don't practice, you're going to... A person who stops giving encouragement is going to lose their compassion for people. A person who stops investing in their marriage is going to... How many of you guys have found out that relationships don't just build on their own? You have to be intentional about it. If you don't invest in that relationship, you're going to lose that relationship, even your marriage. Can I get an amen to that? That's why we put on couples retreats. That's why our nurseries keep doubling in size. It's unbelievable. We got to stop with the couples retreats. It's unbelievable. They've been very fruitful. If you stop serving and loving and investing in your kids, you're going to lose your kids. In other words, right now, while they're kids, you need to pursue your kids so that one day when they're older, your kids will pursue you. Don't wait until you're in an emergency in your relationship before you start investing. Start investing now. Build on that now. Either you use it, or what happens? So this guy, he didn't use it, so guess what happened to him? He lost it. Gave it to somebody else who was building on that ability. If you're not faithful with the little things God has given you, you're going to lose it. And God will just go ahead and give that responsibility or that influence to somebody else besides you. You know what the great thing about this story is? Is that no matter who you are, God still wants to use you. Whether it's one or two or five. He's saying to everybody, I want to give you this ability, but if you bury it, he'll give it to somebody else. Do you know how many guys my wife and I know that were very talented in Bible college who aren't using their gift of preaching and teaching? They just buried it. God says, I'll give it to somebody else. God's been giving it to me. I'm probably the least likely to succeed when I was in Bible college. I didn't win any preaching contest. I failed many classes. I don't think you guys know this. You guys hired a failure. It's been faithful. I'm not bragging on myself. I hope you guys know that. I go home every Sunday. I'm like, man, that was the worst message I've ever preached in my life. That was terrible. Did somebody just say amen? That was... My confidence level was hanging out of 6. Now it's below a 5. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose what God has given me. I don't want to lose my marriage. I don't want to lose my kids. I don't want to lose my ministry. I want to be a good steward of what God has given me. How about you? How about you? Don't lose it. Don't lose it. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Some of you say, man, well, I want to skip all this servant stuff and become a deacon. I want to be a leader in the church. Why don't you just start cleaning toilets first? By the way, none of us are too good for that stuff. If Jesus, God of the universe, can wash feet, I can clean a toilet. Wouldn't it be amazing if everybody who is available at Grand Rapids Baptist Church did something? Could you imagine what this place would be like? Unbelievable. And if you're faithful with the little things and opportunities that come your way, can I tell you, there'll be more responsibility that come your way. More influence that you could have with people here at this church. There's some of you, I think of like John Cornell, and I think of so many in this room. I think of Steve and Christy Van Dusen. I think of Chuck and Donna Nannini. I think of John and Amy. I think of so many people who just kind of started out doing little things around the church, and we saw that they were faithful to that, so we gave them more, and we gave them more, and we gave them more. And guess what? Now they have great influence in our church. Some of you have come from other churches, and you're the big honcho. You're the head honcho, man. You ruled everything. And you come here, and you're like, man, I want to start out as a little worker here. I was like, you're not going to go anywhere here if that's your attitude. We have people who are deacons in other churches. Says, Pastor, where do you want me to serve? Say, hey, do you want a parking lot? And they said, I'm there, Pastor. I'll do that. You know what that says to me? Servant, servant leader. The Bible says the last shall be first and the first shall be last. You want to be first here, guess what? You're going to be last place here. The last become first. That's the principle Jesus taught. The servant is the ruler of all in the kingdom. Isn't that what Jesus taught? Isn't that what he says? So here we see that this one guy, this guy who had won, buried it, and it was given to somebody else. And verse 30 gives a lot of people some problems. Okay, look at what it says in verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant, the guy who didn't do anything with the opportunity, into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I don't want to elaborate on this for too long. This is not teaching that once you're saved, because the master calls him a servant, which means he was saved, that if you don't do good or if you're not faithful, that you're going to lose your salvation. How many of you guys understand, once you're saved, you're always saved? Okay, when Jesus died on the cross and you asked him to forgive you, he forgave you of all of your sin, past, present, and future. You're forgiven. You're saved. What this is talking about is that God gave him a glimpse of the wailing and gnashing of teeth. God gave this servant a glimpse of what it's like for other people because he didn't use his ability. He didn't take advantage of the opportunity that God has given him. Therefore, many people suffer because of it. Notice it says in Isaiah 66:24, it says, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men who have transgressed against me. I find this very interesting because in this verse, the Bible tells us that we who are saved are going to get a glimpse of those people who have sinned or transgressed or who aren't saved and see what it looks like for them as they're suffering in a place called hell. I think it's interesting that a guy named Jonah in the Old Testament, who was a servant of God, did not do what God called him to do. God said, go to Nineveh and preach this message. And he went the opposite direction down to a place called Joppa. And he found himself in a whale of a mess. And when he was in the whale, in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, he was inside the whale's belly. He said this, out of the belly of hell. He got a glimpse of what hell is like, separation from God, what it's like. He was in that, and the whale threw him up, and he went up and preached the message, and everybody got saved, and it was big revival. It was unbelievable. But if you don't use your abilities and the opportunities God has given you, you're going to miss out on people getting saved. You say, me serving in the nursery, do you think people get saved? Yes. Because when you're back there, ladies, serving those kids, you're not serving the kids, you're serving the parents who are sitting right here hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're out there parking cars and waving them in. You're saying to a new family that's come for the very first time, who's already scared about coming to church, and they come and say, oh, look, a friendly face. I feel welcome here. You walk people to the nursery and the people here that serve as the ushers and the people that serve in the nursery and serve with the children's department. You're serving Jesus Christ for the sole purpose of other people getting saved. That's the ultimate goal, is that people would know Christ as their personal Savior. Is it not? That's what it's about. When I was in Bible college, I served on a bus route. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but they would send out buses to the city and pick up kids and bring them back, and we'd preach the gospel to them. And sometimes it's not very fun, especially in Lancaster, California, where it's desert, it's really hot. There's no air conditioning on the bus, and there's usually 60, 70 kids on there with snot running out of their nose, and they're loud and crazy. And in this particular time in Bible college, I had a lot of projects that were building up. I didn't want to be on the bus that day. How many of you guys have ever had ministries, you just don't want to do the ministry? He said, I don't want to park cars. I don't want to work in the nursery. This is the last thing I want to do. I just want to sit, drink my latte, and listen to a message. That's all I want to do. I remember that particular day we picked up the kids. We brought them back. They were in bus class, and I'm just like, man, I do not want to get back on that bus, drop them off. I got projects to do. I just want to take a nap. You know, I don't want to do this. And I remember kind of going back to my bus captain. His name was Josh Ermler. And I said, hey, the kids don't need me. I'm going to go back to my room. And he looked at me and he said, they might not need you, Cody, but you need them. And I was like, okay, I'll better get on the bus. So I did. And he was right. being in ministry is not just to serve other people. It's not just because the kids and the moms and everybody else needs you. It's also you serve because you need it as well. You need it. You were built by God to serve. You as a member of Grand Rapids Baptist Church or a potential member of this church, you weren't called to just sit and receive. You were called to serve. And that's where you receive your greatest blessing as a Christian. When you're able to give, not just financially, but to give your talents, your abilities, and your time to other people. And you look back and say, Lord, thank you for that opportunity. And I pray that every person in this room is faithful to those opportunities because you live in light of one day being accountable for those opportunities. Being responsible with those things. So I want to give you three action steps this morning. Very simple message. Three action steps. First of all, I want to encourage you to live in light of eternity. What opportunities to serve Christ are coming your way? And if you sign up for those opportunities, live in light of eternity. Don't live for this earth. Don't bury it. Say, well, you know, nobody needs me and it's not really going to matter much. It does matter much. Every little thing you do at this church matters a lot. So live in light of eternity. You say, what do you mean? Because one day Jesus is going to come back and hold me accountable for those opportunities. Amen. Hey, what'd you do with that? What'd you do with that opportunity? Let me see what you did with that. Show me what you got. How many of you guys would like to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? How many of you guys want to hear that? How many of you guys love when you're at work and the boss comes by and he says, hey, I want to let you know that it's been a rough week, but I want you to know you've done a great job. I could live on that for a month. Live in light of eternity. One day he's going to come back and say, let me see what you got. Let me see what you did. Let me see what you did with that marriage. Let me see what you did with those kids I gave you. Let me see what you did with the opportunities that I gave you at church. What'd you do with them? You could have signed up, but you didn't. I want to encourage you to sign up for a ministry. Number two, take advantage of the opportunity. You have an opportunity next door. Now listen, I have some of you saying, well, you know what? I understand not everybody can sign up for a ministry, but if you can, sign up for a ministry right after the service. It'll be right next door. Take advantage of an opportunity. Start out small. Do something. Sign up to do something. You're going to find that it's a blessing to serve God. It really is. And number three, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I didn't mention this very much, but I will tell you, he didn't call them a servant for no reason. He called them a servant because he claimed them as his own. And the only people that Jesus claims as his own are the people who believe on him as their personal Savior, that he's their master. When I got saved on September 1st, 2001, Jesus became my master. I'm his servant. And one day I'm going to be held accountable for what I did with the gifts and abilities God has given me. But he's still my master no matter what I do. Whether I bury them or use them for his glory, I'm still going to be held accountable to my master because I'm saved. Are you saved? Are you saved? If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure heaven's your home? Do you know if Jesus is truly your master? You can get saved today. So what am I going to do with this message today, Pastor? Live in light of eternity. Take advantage of the opportunity. And if you need to get saved this morning, I encourage you to get saved. Lord, I pray that every person in this room would realize that we've been given this great opportunity to serve you. Whether it's one talent or two or five, that doesn't matter. Lord, you say what matters is being good and faithful with what we have. So Lord, help us to not compare ourselves among ourselves. Help us to be faithful with the little bit we have. And Lord, take advantage of that and double it and improve upon it. Lord, help us to live in light of eternity. Help us to take advantage of the opportunity today. I pray that we'd sign up for a ministry by faith and serve you with all our heart because we love you. Because you served us, Lord, we want to serve you. And Lord, I pray for the person who doesn't know you as their personal Savior. I pray they get saved this morning. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross to save us from our sin.